So let's take you through those highlights. Let's start off with the first game for baseball. It was a tough pitching matchup. Caden Favors on the other side came in with a 5-1 record and a sub-3 ERA, very talented lefty. Not a blowaway fastball, but a great variety of pitches. Entered with a 55-10 strikeout-to-walk ratio and went along those lines, basically. Struck out 7 and walked 1. But Hunter Mink was better. Struck out a career-high tying 9 while walking just 1. The Bulls only walked 1 batter the first 2 games. Remember, they were coming off a game where they walked 10 in a loss to Stetson, where they could not hang on to a 7-0 lead. And they had lost 3 in a row, while Wichita State had a big walk-off victory against Kansas and entered with a 19-10 record compared to the Bulls' 16-13. Wichita was also 5-1 in conference play. They had only lost their opener before rolling, especially on offense. The Bulls kept their offense really practically to the bare minimum. You take away an uprising in the top of the ninth on Saturday where they scored 4 runs, and don't worry, we'll play that exceptionally strange highlight, but you throw that inning out, and of course you can't throw it out, but they only scored a total of 8 runs in the other 26 innings, while the Bulls did just enough offensively. They got it going against Favors. They had, in the end, 13 hits against him. Now, he hadn't become a full-time starter until this year, but even in this fantastic season, he had never allowed more than 8 hits in a game, and the Bulls got him for 13. A lot of them didn't go far, like this one that put the Bulls ahead.
2-1, and Rose hits a high chopper. That's going to be tough for the second baseman, and it gets behind him, and they're going to send Monkey. They are. A little bit of a break there. However you can get it against Caden Favors, you will. And maybe a second run coming in. And was that a good slide? Oh, it was a good slide. Snow tried to get around and really catch Wichita State napping, but he was thrown out.
Bulls actually got thrown out on the base paths 3 times, twice at home in this game, because anytime they had a chance to score against Caden Favors, they were taking it. And Snow, if you look at it, was trying to score from first on a ball that should not have gotten out of the infield. So you were certainly happy with the lead, but Wichita State got it right back, leadoff double, RBI single by their promising freshman Cam Dernan. He's a talented shortstop, and it was one apiece. The only error of the game helped lead to the Bulls taking back the lead in the bottom of the fifth. Meanwhile, Mink was just cruising along on the other side. But it was a Marcus Brodell single. Matt Rose bunted to move him over. Then the error on a pickoff throw to second. Brodell got to third. And Drew Brutcher just needed to put the ball in play, which he did. Now, he's had some tough games. On Tuesday, he struck out 3 times and grounded into a double play. More on him having a tough game and changing it dramatically later on in this segment. But the Bulls, again, weren't hitting the ball very hard. They were just squeezing it through. There were some bloopers in there, and they led 2-1, and more the same in the bottom of the sixth. An infield single by Jackson Mayo, a solid single to left by Joaquin Moncay, with Mayo advancing to third, and that set up the chance for this to happen.
Rafael Betancourt coming up now. Oh, a possible bunt first and third, and that is going to work out! The squeeze to perfection, and the Bulls lead is 3-1. Just get the ball down, and Favors truly was not expecting that.
And if you're listening on Friday night, we said it was a good thing because with Derek Williams, he's a guy that in his first year in junior college at the famous Mineral Area College hit 25 homers. And then last year in the state of Florida, actually, you know, tapered it down to only 16 with 58 RBI and was their leading home run hitter this year with 7. Well, he was the third to come to the dish in the next half inning and sure enough hit his 8th home run. But because of what you just heard, the Bulls maintained the lead at 3-2. And then they got their first cushion of the night in the bottom of the 7th inning. Once again, Matt Rose, who had 3 hits in the game along with that sack bunt, led it off with the single. Then Drew Brutcher, a hustle double, led to this.
It does go as a straight double, even though it was misplayed out there in right field. Oh, Ben Rosenblum gets underneath that one. We were talking about the slowly hit balls. That one was hammer out of here. So they've been getting some grips and grabs. But that one was attacked by Ben Rosenblum. It is 6-2. Big Ben pops.
That he does. He had already surpassed his career home run high with number 3 this year, but that was the 5th one and put him to a tie for a career high in RBI with 21 already. And plus, he's been hitting for average. His first season was that shortened 2020 at FIU where he hit 304. I actually did the numbers on his second year at FIU and his first two here at South Florida, and the batting average was just 257, so it'll be around 300. And also taking a lot of walks and HBPs, he has been phenomenal. The Bulls needed that cushion because, once again, Wichita State had an immediate answer but just held to one run, and then John Montez gets hit by a pitch. Looked like a bigger inning was in store for the Bulls in the bottom of the eighth, but they had to settle for one. And then Billy Moll gave him a chance to finish things off. Hunter Mink allowed a leadoff double, got a great response, and then Chandler Dorsey closed the door.
And that'll be it. He makes the signal to the bullpen, and you're going to hear the crowd go crazy. So no second straight complete game, but absolutely an epic performance by H. Mink. Let's see what Dorsey has now. Maybe goes back with the heater here. He does. Oh, my goodness. Swung on a miss. Strike three. Mian could have had a million chances to hit that ball and would not have. Two-pitch pitcher for the most part, but they're really plus pitches. And now he delivers one and two, and called strike three. And Williams is upset with himself for watching that fastball. Closer stuff, no doubt. Fans on their feet. Everybody is indeed clapping your hands. And hit sharply up the middle, but Eric Snow has it and throws across, and that's the ball game. What a game for USF.
Awesome crowd. Alex Skolish was there to throw out the first pitch, and the football team, almost the whole team, was behind the Wichita State dugout for the bulk of the game. A lot of other teams were there. I saw women's soccer, which, by the way, along with volleyball, the soccer teams are getting in a full spring exhibition schedule. So always neat to see turnout from other sports supporting their own, and the Bulls had an opening night victory. They had 16 hits in the game, 13 against Favors, who had never allowed six runs, although one of them was unearned, but it was his own error, that pickoff play. And then with all the hits, you had plenty of multi-hit games, three each for Monkay and Rose, and Ben Rosenblum with a three-run homer, as we had everybody in the lineup got a hit, which is sensational. The only exception, if you look at the box score, was Bobby Bozer, but he is not going to be hitting. He came on as a surprise defensive replacement, and oh yeah, he would make an appearance in a notable portion of Sunday's game. But Hunter Mink likely landing on the weekly honors once again, after almost getting his second straight complete game. The series got secured on Saturday, 8-7, and that really doesn't tell the whole story. This was crazy. First of all, it looked like the Bulls maybe were in line to cruise just a little bit. The teams exchanged runs. The sun was definitely an issue. It was a high sun, as a 2 o'clock start was causing havoc on both sides. In fact, Wichita State, if you look at the box score, leadoff double, yeah, it was a leadoff pop-up that got lost in the sun by Eric Snow. And Camden Johnson would come around on an error, really kind of a tough play made to the first baseman that Wichita State scored on with two outs. But the Bulls got their own little bloop situation as Jackson Mayo dropped in an RBI single, which really was a pop-up. However, a lot more legitimate was what the Bulls did in the bottom of the second, and they did it all after two were outs. They scored eight runs. Six of them not just came with two outs, but with nobody on in two outs. So in this case, that man again, Matt Rose, a single, then Drew Brutscher was plunked, leading to Ben Rosenblum having a chance to do his thing.
Rosenblum hits that ball pretty well, deep to left field, and it is at least going to hit the top of the wall and go over! Ben Rosenblum, a second straight day with a three-run homer, and the Bulls are on top, 4-1. I was going to say at least get into the gap and give the Bulls the lead. As I was saying it, it doinked off the padding, and Ben Rosenblum already has long since gotten his career high in home runs. He now has his career high in RBI.
Early 5-1 lead for Jack Siebert, who, though not nearly as sharp as Hunter Mink, was still plenty sharp in going seven. If you listen back to the replay, and we'll replay these games for you the next couple of days, I said a couple times that it looked like both pens were going to be put into action in either the sixth or the seventh, and it wasn't until the eighth that the Bulls had to go to their pen. Now, Wichita State did grab a couple of runs in the fifth, but a big defensive play kept the margin at 5-3.
Here's some Wichita State fans saying, come on, Ryan. He's the number seven batter. Curveball, and he ropes it to right field. Andrew Brutcher, did he trap it? He caught it, and this could be two. They got the double play. What a play by Brutch in right field. Not only diving head first to make a great catch, but having the wherewithal to get up and get the double play. Mian was off, and now he is off to the dugout.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the number four play of the day on SportsCenter. Now, a play that would have made it on the other part, that not-so-top 10, unfortunately marked what happened in the top of the ninth inning. Fortunately, the Bulls, after what you just heard, would score three runs. They got one in the sixth and two in the seventh in the sixth inning. It was that man leading off with a triple and coming home on a sack fly. Then in the seventh, more two-out stuff. Eric Snow works a walk. Marcus Brodell, RBI double, followed by yet another single is an RBI by Matt Rose, which made it so that the Bulls didn't have to sweat, right? Oh, no, they had to sweat in the ninth inning. As up 8-3, you don't think you're going to have to go to your closer. Seth Stroh, a two-base knock for 8-5, then this.
Full count. Oh, man. Goff, deep to right. Brutcher is going to watch it. Sail over the wall. Hit his glove. And bounced over the wall. What a gaffe. It is 8-7. Brutcher put up his glove like somebody that was just trying to make it look like he saw it, but he didn't see it. The sun has really fooled everybody today, but nothing even close to what we just witnessed. Brutcher had the ball bounce on his glove, and it bounced over the wall. The way he shot the ball over the wall. You couldn't do that if you tried.
Fortunately, Chandler Dorsey was ready for emergency action, and he had no issues getting the last two outs. That's right, there were still two outs to get, and the Bulls got the win. Jack Siebert got it on the mound. It was Dorsey's sixth save. Siebert went seven innings through 104 pitches, six strikeouts, no walks. Austin Newton did get charged for those four runs. He also did not walk anybody, so two games, one walk. Yeah, that's not bad. The Bulls with 11 hits, two each for Brutcher, Montez, Mayo, and Rose. Now Sunday, looked like Wichita State was going to leave town with a victory for sure. You would have been happy with any sort of series victory and take the details out. The Bulls looked like they were headed for just, quote-unquote, the series victory the way things were going on Sunday. They were not having any issues getting on base against a talented starter on the other side, Tommy Lepore, a big, sturdy freshman, three-sport standout, including wrestling in high school, and he had been so good for them in his role as a starter. He went 5 2/3 innings, struck out seven. The Bulls were getting to him, but whenever it came time to drive in a run, he was absolutely buckling down. The really tough one was the bases loaded in the second inning after Puckett and Snow singled. It was great to see Stuart Puckett back after missing a couple games due to injury. He was in for Rafael Betancourt again, just returning from injury in this game. But then Lepore again struck out the side, including Brutcher and Rosenblum with the bases loaded. Said that it was a tough day for Brutcher. After an infield single by Eric Snow and a single by Marcus Brodell, again Lepore strikes out Rose and then gets a double play ball by Brutcher. So at that time, ending the fourth, Drew had two Ks and a double play ball, but he wasn't alone. Fifth inning again, two on thanks to two walks and two more strikeouts. So the Bulls just were not getting it done with runners in scoring position. They were 0 for their first 10. And this is why it didn't look like there was much of a chance the Bulls were going to win. First of all, they hadn't really gotten to the Wichita State pen. A team that came to town with a 4.03 ERA had plenty of arms left. The Bulls had four straight innings where they got the leadoff man on and then some and couldn't score. Wichita did not get the leadoff man on at all until the fifth inning. Bunt single, sack bump. Here comes Bryce Archie to replace Lawson Gailey, who was solid. Immediately gives up an RBI double, and they add a run on a drop-down perfect bunt, and it just felt like Wichita had kind of the day in tow. Even though the margin was not big, it was 2-0. The Bulls could not get anything going against Hunter Holmes. He's a guy who had pitched in 17 games, but only thrown 12 and a third inning, so you figured just a couple batters. No, he pitched all the way into the ninth And why take him out? The Bulls just kept getting weak ground outs and weak pop-ups against him. In fact, they went from getting singles to start off the fourth. That second single by Brodell was the Bulls' last hit until we got to the ninth. Holmes, speaking of Brodell, walks him after falling behind 0-2. Brodell able to take the walk. And man, did he have a couple of dramatic walks in this game. And finally, we see their closer who had five saves and surely was going to get number six, right? Oh, no. It went the other way. Here's how it sounded.
Rafael Betancourt will pinch hit for Rose and do it from the left side and hits it up the middle and it gets through! Boy, did not wait around. Brodell will make it to third. And back to what happened early in the game with balls just absolutely squeezing through. That stopped happening about an hour and a half ago. But Rafael Betancourt, with the crowd at its most noisy, comes through. And remember, he's coming off a knee injury, so he will get pinch run for here. And it'll be none other than Bobby Boeser, who represents the tying run. 2-2. Nobody out. 2-1. Boeser is going. Brutcher is holding. And the tying run is at second base with his sixth steal. Now, as frustrating as all those left on base were, it's good to have the potential for more. Let's just see if Drew Brutcher can change the tune. It's 3-2 to him. And he lines it down the right field side. And it is going to tie the score. Brutcher is going to bust for second. And he's saved. And the game is tied. An RBI double for Drew. Drew comes through.
What a moment. Although the fun would end there as the Bulls had a chance, obviously, to walk it off with still nobody out. But Nate Adler showed his closer stuff and was able to get the final three outs without much drama. He hit Ben Rosenblum with the pitch, but that didn't really hurt things because he had four outs. But he struck out Montez, got a pop-up from Jackson Mayo to third, and then Joaquin Moncay flies out. 10th inning, Joey Valini, who was very solid in his first appearance in conference play, by the way, recorded five outs for the Bulls, got a strikeout included after a leadoff single and a sack bunt, so that was important. But Chandler Dorsey comes in to get the last strikeout and two saves and a win. Why did he get the win? Because of what happened in the bottom of the 10th, again, against Wichita's standout closer, Nate Adler.
1-2, and that's hit up the middle. No error there on a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. And Puckett singles to start things off here in the bottom of the 10th. Snow squares to bunt and gets hit. First and second. Nobody out. Bottom of the 10th. Here's the pitch, and Brodell squares to bunt, and he didn't go, and that was outside. And, boy, that was all sorts of unusual. First of all, squaring the bunt on 3-2. Secondly, sure looked like it caught the outside corner. But now the bases are loaded for Cole Robertson, and Billy Moe is going to come out. Remember, this is the spot in the order that was the pinch hit. Originally, it was Rose in the ninth spot. Pinch hit four by Betancourt very successfully. And then Betancourt was pinch run for by Bobby Boeser. And if you're wondering why not have Boeser hit here, there's simply no way. His hand is not ready. And the bases are loaded for Cole Robertson, who is 2-for-24 in his Bulls career, the redshirt sophomore from Sickles High School. Obviously just looking to make some sort of contact. Now the infield is up, so he's got to do more than contact, especially with the force being at home. Get underneath the ball. Drawn in infield. And three chances for the Bulls to win it here. Let's hope they get it on chance one. Oh, Robertson wanted to do it. He took a nice cut there at a curveball. A 4-10 hitter last year at Pasco Hernando with 10 homers and 37 RBI. And he does have a three-run homer in his Bulls career, but it's been a while since he's gotten a hit midweek a couple weeks back. Puts it down, a bump, and there's the force, and it's going to work out because it was a suicide squeeze, and the game is over! The old bases loaded walk-off bunt to perfection by Cole Robertson. Don't you know? Pump it up! And the Bulls cannot be any more pumped than they are right now. The Bulls win. Unbelievable. Off with even well before contact with Stuart Puckett. And I think that's one where if there's one out, you don't try it. If you don't have Drew Brutcher on deck with nobody out, you don't try it. But what the heck? give the old bases loaded walk a shot, and I tell you, it just was in the perfect spot.
We've seen some frustrating losses, and this would have been, not the worst, because Wichita's a good team, and the Bulls had taken the first two games of the series. But now you get to feel that joy that has been somewhat fleeting over the last couple of years, and now the Bulls are a game out of first place. UTSA secure the series victory against Charlotte in run rule Sunday, 13-1. So the Roadrunners, who were picked to finish third, actually behind East Carolina and Charlotte, stand alone in first place at 7-2, three weekends down, six more still to go. There's a lot of time left in this thing, but the Bulls are indeed just with one other team in second place. That other team would be East Carolina, which dropped one in Boca Raton, but won Sunday at 8-6. Tulane is just 3-6 in conference after dropping two or three close ones to UAB, and that's where the Bulls go this weekend. Now, only a handful of minutes left in the show. We're not going to give softball as much time as they probably deserve after this weekend, but don't worry, that's going to change, because Tuesday we're talking with Ken Erickson for the new version of Bullseye, which will be the first softball-themed version of the Coach's Show, which you'll hear on Thursday. Also on Wednesday, you will hear yours truly with the call live from Gainesville, where the softball team will get a big challenge from the University of Florida. A three-game sweep where the offense got going, and Memphis, again, a 4-27 team that really struggles defensively, committed a bunch of errors to help out the Bulls in the first game. Peyton Dixon went the first five innings. Bell Sarja picked up the two-inning save, and the Bulls blew it open with four runs in the sixth and the seventh. Actually had the same amount of hits, seven, but Memphis committed four errors, and the Bulls walked 11 times in this game. Only multi-hit game was Olivia Elliott, who scored three times. Ryan Eigerman, her bat starting to heat up, drove in three, had an RBI double. And even Julia Apostolakos got to come in for her first career RBI, as the Bulls had some fun there at the end of the game. And it carried over to the beginning of the game Saturday. Five runs in the first inning. And remember, Bell Sarja, who had struggled, frankly. Her ERA in conference play was nearly seven, and in her last start, she had given up four spot in the first, prior to that a five spot. Well, being given a 5-0 lead before you enter the circle turns out to be a pretty good circumstance. Ryan Eigerman, by the way, an RBI triple in that five-run inning. He had a two-out error that scored a couple, and the Bulls would lead 6-0. Sarja was solid. The Bulls again tack on four in the seventh inning, including an Olivia Elliott two-run home run. The three at the top of the order all had two-hit games, Alexa Galagani, then Elliott, then Eigerman, and Sarja went the distance. 110 pitches, just one of the three runs she allowed was earned, didn't walk anybody, struck out two, in other words, pitched to contact against Memphis 10-3. Looked like Peyton Dixon was going to make it another complete game, but Bell Sarja actually had to come in at the end of a crazy Sunday game. Frankly, not the prettiest. It was a 9-6 victory. Bulls, nine runs on five hits. Memphis, seven errors. Peyton Dixon was going to try and finish it off, but allowed a couple of base runners. Memphis grabbed a couple more runs, and then Bell Sarja comes in, gives up a couple more runs. Fortunately, the Bulls had a 9-0 lead, and it looked like just window dressing when they scored five in the top of the seventh, but they needed those, because if it had stayed 4-0, they would have lost. 9-6 ends up being the final. So the Bulls are 27-15, 7-8 in the conference. Remember that North Texas team that took two or three from the Bulls and was tied for the first place? Well, they lost their series to UAB. That pitcher that the Bulls couldn't solve, Mackenzie Childers, did not make it out of the second on Friday night, gave up seven runs as they lost to UAB and dropped the series. FAU, meanwhile, is your first place team by two games. And this is after they lost their opener to Charlotte 11-0. Clearly, there is a situation where anyone can win the American this year. More evidence of that, Wichita State picked to win the league, lost a close one at home Friday to Tulsa, run ruled them on Saturday, and then got pummeled 14-5 by Tulsa on Sunday. So add it all up, the conference is up for grabs, and it is a big weekend series for the Bulls hosting Wichita. Before that, they'll play the Florida Gators, so on Wednesday's show, we'll give you a full softball outlook. But win or lose against Florida, if they can take the series this weekend against Wichita, they're going to move in to the top 50 again, I'm sure, in the computer rankings. And speaking of that, the baseball team, we can update you, went from 105 to 76. Now, there's still a lot of time left in their season, but if they stay atop the standings and keep stockpiling series victories, they might not have to they might not have to actually win the conference tournament in Clearwater to make the NCAA tournament. NCAA marks for the track and field team. Try the best in the country as far as the 100-meter dash. Abdul Rashid Cimino, a 9.95 as part of the South Florida Invitational. All the fantastic top 10, top 15 marks in the NCAA are posted on GoUSFBulls.com. The men ran on Friday. The women ran, of course, and jumped on Saturday. And down went the 100-meter dash program record, courtesy of Shania Benjamin, during Saturday's action. Again, all those details at GoUSFBulls.com. We are getting to the end of the season in the conference tournaments, namely for both tennis and golf. Tennis, the women's conference tourney begins this Wednesday in Dallas, and there was a real opportunity for the women's team to up their seed and up their national ranking and maybe not be in a spot to have to win the conference tournament to get into the NCAA, but two losses, both by 4-0 scores. Now, we told you how good FIU is in the top 30. FIU swept Rice, that was Friday, and then the Bulls played Rice and did not take a point off them. Now, two matches that were still going when the result was clinched were in the Bulls' favor, but Rice won by 6-love, 6-1 scores on two courts. So they kind of took it to the Bulls, and then again, a 4-0 defeat to FIU. So the Bulls are going to have to win the conference tournament. And as we're taping this, the seedings aren't out yet, but it looks like the Bulls will be the fourth seed, which is good because it gives them a double bye, and they'll only have to win three matches. And when you have a 14-team conference, if you're getting a double bye, that's a good achievement. However, the number one seed and host SMU would stand in their way in the semifinals, and SMU has already swept the Bulls this season. In other words, a difficult road. Another couple of close losses for men's tennis. Frankly, the one at Wichita was unexpected and disappointing. Wichita was 4-17 and not even ranked in the top 150. Now, the matches were close, but again, that's one you expect the Bulls would have won easily. Then they gave a higher-ranked Tulsa team a good test on Sunday, but lost it 4-2. So the Bulls have dropped five matches in a row since coming home from California and frankly need a confidence boost going into the conference tournament. And fortunately, they have a rescheduled match, which would do just that if they can win it. That's against FAU on Wednesday. FAU is a top 50 team, though. And then the conference tournament is next Thursday in Tulsa. Men's golf finished ninth in a field of 15. It really kind of was two different halves. You had seven teams that were under par, and the other eight weren't. And the Bulls finished second among that over par group, one shot behind UCF. So what it means is the Bulls, who were once well inside the top 40, may drift outside the top 50. Generally, if you're in the 50s, you will make the NCAA tournament without having to win your conference tournament. But I think the Bulls might want to put forth a good showing next weekend as they host that event. Shubi Jaglan finished in the top 20 with a 3-under par final round, and the Bulls indeed turned in their best round in the final round. First round, 10-over par for women's golf in Chattanooga, but the best that anyone was 6-over par, so the Bulls are definitely in that event, tied for third in their season finale out of 16 teams. Best score turned in fresh off her performance in Augusta by none other than Melanie Green at 1-under par. 1-over was Alize Vidal, that puts her in the top 10. Alyssa Montgomery, a 2-over par score. So that event will be complete by our Bulls beat on Wednesday. On that show, we'll also have a recap of the baseball team against Bethune-Cookman, a full preview, and sort of even more on softball because they're playing the Florida Gators, and whatever else comes up during the course of the next couple of days. And yeah, we'll start to get you more in tune for that spring football game. That'll wrap up Bulls beat on a Monday. I'm Derek Sharp.